All right. Hello and welcome to a very special edition of KETR's Locker Room. I'm your host, Cooper Welch, along with my co-hosts, Taylor Phillips and Ryan Phillips. And we've got a very special guest with us this week, Linda Cohen from SportsCenter. We're going to talk to her a little bit, and then we're going to go into the normal podcast stuff, talk Cowboys, whatever else. But first, we want to pause just for a brief moment to honor those that died in the Boston attack at the marathon, and a great broadcaster who had a great legacy, 16 Super Bowl broadcasts. Pat Summerall passed away today, so we just wanted to honor them real quickly. All right, well, let's get on with the show. First, we're going to talk with Ms. Linda Cohen, who's here with our prestigious speaker series.
Yes.
We had Dan Rather last year, and she's here this year graciously hosting the event and just talking with the other people. We were going to have Sonia Richards-Ross. She couldn't make it today due to the DFW, American Airlines stuff that's going on. And we also have Ryan Lochte and Misty May Traynor. So great honor for Commerce. We're really excited. So first, we just wanted to ask you, you got to love sports to work in this field, obviously. Where did your love of sports come from?
Well, you hit it on the head. And you guys know this. Mm-hmm. When you're watching TV or listening on the radio, and if someone's doing sports, you can point them out as a fraud if they don't love it. Am I right?
Oh, definitely.
So
definitely
for me, I grew up loving sports. My dad, who's not with us anymore, but my dad started me off on this sports obsession. And the teams, I grew up in New York. Sorry, listeners. But here's the thing. My teams were, of course, the football Giants. You know, for me, my dad loved the Yankees. I loved the Mets. But everything else, I was the same. I loved the Knicks, and I loved the New York Rangers. And the reason why I bring this up is because sports was emotional for me. Not only it tied, you know, had this wonderful relationship with my dad, but the point it was, I look forward to these games with my teams. I was a kid with low self-esteem. I really had nothing to look forward to. You know, when you're a kid with low self-esteem, what are you looking forward to? It's definitely not school and hanging out with your friends, because most of the time you have no friends. So to me, sports and those that played on the teams that I loved were my friends. Do you know what I'm saying? So the next game was the big event. So you never let that go. And that's why to this day, I still, you know, feel that way about the teams that I grew up loving.
There's like a connection, like you're on the team almost. It's like you're a part of the team, even though you're not getting paid.
Right. And you know that, too, because we're all fans. I mean, we wouldn't be in this business if we weren't fans first. Some of us lose it. You know, I don't. But you always feel like you're a part, and you have to hold back. And that's one of my biggest challenges, not saying we, right?
Oh, yeah.
How about it? You guys too, right? You can't say we. So I got over that quickly. But when the mic's off and the camera's away, look out, because I'm a mile a minute talking about those teams, and a we can slip in one now or then.
Right. What sports did you grow up actually playing?
I played ice hockey. You know, I really did start out as street hockey with the boys. Mm-hmm. Then it was ice hockey with the boys. And then I'd actually played ice hockey with girls for the first time in college, because there was actually a girls' hockey team. So, you know, and they were like blown away. They're like, my God, you know, and it's because all the years I played, you know, with guys. So so that was like my big sport. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a goalie. So to this day, of course, that will be always the first and foremost. You know, my second favorite sport is the NFL. I mean, I just love it. We don't have to go into tell your listeners how amazing it is. We know how amazing it is.
Well, as long as you don't tell us how amazing the Giants are, I think we'll be fine.
You know, I took a year off. You know, I'll give you guys a break. But, you know, hey, well, we could talk about Tony Romo. How do you guys feel about the big money?
Well, yeah.
I mean, no, seriously. I mean, you know, because I think he gets here's the deal with Tony Romo. Now, and I'm like president of the Eli Manning fan club, okay? So I'll never, right? But the thing with Tony Romo, you know, you still have to have pieces around you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in his defense, while he's had, you know, a couple pieces, they haven't been enough. Mm-hmm. And a strong defense is the bottom line. And you have to have, you know, guys with killer instinct that want to make big plays.
And so you've seen that with the Giants.
Well, you've seen it with the Giants. So that's what I'm saying.
Those
rushers
who,
you know,
just...
Eli is like a silent assassin. Because I know, you know, his demeanor, he lost shucks, whatever. But listen, this guy wants to win more than anybody. But the few weapons that he has, or the guys that he's made good, they have it too. Mm-hmm. You know, they have that want to win. And I think if the Cowboys get more of that type of player, you know, maybe Dez Bryant matures a year more mature this mm-hmm. year, and you can see it, some of the things mm-hmm. he's saying. You know, hopefully for your sake, he carries it out, right? But, you know, the Miles Austin and all these kind of, you know, like a gray area there, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of unknowns,
you know, right.
Yeah. Especially the offensive line. There's just so
right.
many uncertainties.
Exactly.
There.
So Tony's running for his life. You know, when Eli doesn't have a solid offensive line, when Tom Brady doesn't have an offensive line, it's not going to work.
Right.
It's not happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so this is to Jerry Jones. Get your yeah. act together.
Right.
And come draft day, week from
happen.
Thursday, make it happen.
Well, let me ask you then. Yeah. Will the Cowboys ever win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones or Tony Romo?
I think they will.
You think they will?
I
awesome.
Really do. I
and
really
that's coming
do.
From a Giants fan.
The
fans
really would
love to hear
you
that.
You know, it's true. I just think, and we know, I mean, a lot of people don't think the Ravens had a shot to win, but everything
no.
fell into place.
Right.
Their miracle went over the Broncos. You know, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and Joe Flacco has that entire team to thank for his mm-hmm. big salary. But why not the Cowboys? But Jerry's got to get it. Now, mm-hmm. if I interview you three, I'm like, does he get it? Does he understand yeah. now what it takes? Mm-hmm. Is he paying attention? You know?
And I think we'll see at the end of this offseason with how they approach the draft and how they approach free agents after the draft.
It's true, because you don't make a commitment to the quarterback like you did.
If they're not trying to win now.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And you know, Eli's a lot like Tony. I personally yeah. think. I think, but Eli just has the management. He has the coaching and the management that Tony doesn't have.
Great point. What Eli has had, the one consistent area that he's had, is the head coach, okay, and
yes.
the offensive coordinator. He's had Kevin Gilbride for a while now, and of course he's had Tom Coughlin.
Yes.
And that has made the difference, and that stability. Tony Romo obviously has not had that stability. Jason Garrett is no Tom Coughlin, you know, with all
no,
due respect.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's going to be an issue. That's a problem. So, you know, Tony Romo deserves a chance to be successful.
Right. And that's, you talked about stability. That's crazy that Eli's had stability in New York, of
right.
all places. I mean,
right. Look at the Jets.
Yeah.
They're in New York and they have instability.
And they can't, yeah, they
you
can't
know,
get anything
together.
But it's also, like you said, getting hot at the right time. I remember a time before Tom Coughlin and Eli had won their first Super Bowl.
Right.
When people were, you know, chanting for Tom Coughlin's head to get him out the door.
Yes, it was earlier this season of 2007 when they went on to win and upset the Patriots yeah. and send them to their first
He was on the hottest seat of any coach
oh,
in the league.
It was. And you know what? Every fan base is flaky. Because, you know, I frowned upon some of my Giant cohorts who were calling for Tom Coughlin's head earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Did they have a point? Perhaps. But he made adjustments. Mm-hmm. And then it's also about getting back to the Cowboys situation, why the Giants were successful, mm-hmm. you know, winning the two Super Bowls in the last, whatever, 6 years, is the fact they had leadership in the locker room. You guys, you have to have a guy that's leadership. And if it's not Tony Romo, he leads in his own way, like Eli.
Yes.
Eli leads in his own way, mm-hmm. you know, by action, you know, quiet leader. He expects things out of his teammates. You have to have that leadership in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to see that from the Cowboys. If you get that, that'll be a big component.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of their biggest problems is, you know, obviously they don't have that. You know, a lot of those guys have been questioned. Tony Romo's leadership's been questioned. DeMarcus Ware's leadership.
Right.
You don't have that. You know, it doesn't have to be a Ray Lewis type character
no.
to have the leadership, but it has to be someone who demands perfection on a daily basis.
Right. And let me tell you something. Last year, you know, the Giants had a 9-7 season, but this time 9-7 got them nothing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You know, Justin Tuck, I thought, as a Giant fan, as I'm making this comment, as a Giant fan, I didn't think he stepped up as a leader. I don't
yeah.
think he was a good enough leader. He needs to be like a Michael Strahan type, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. You
mm-hmm.
know, Justin Tuck had that leadership year, you know, when they won, you know, whatever, a year and a half ago, 2 years
yeah.
ago. But he hasn't been that way for a while. So it's really important. So DeMarcus Ware, that's a perfect guy that you mentioned, because he reminds me of the inconsistency of being a leader.
And Tony Romo, too, because we saw the first few weeks of practice, Eli and Tom Brady and Peyton are all out there training, trying to get
yeah.
better every day. And Tony Romo's in a karaoke bar, you know. I mean, he's celebrating with his old
yeah.
lineman, but that's good. But build team sports and all that.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be celebrating with those O-linemen, because
yeah.
hopefully they won't be around
they
too much longer.
Yeah.
But you're right. I would be upset. You know, if I was a Cowboys fan, I wouldn't like that. I want my guy out there working.
And
you know?
Saw that a few years ago in the playoffs when he, you know, took that trip to the
yeah.
Cabo. Yeah.
To Cabo.
Well,
or
that was in 07 when the Giants beat them. They were a 13-win team. Mm-hmm. And T.O. was on that team. Everybody was picking the Cowboys. And to me, as a Giant fan, you know, listen, just because I grew up when the Cowboys were great and everything, you know, more consistent winners. Mm-hmm. And that win at that time, you ask any Giant fan, at that time when the Giants upset them, that was like our Super Bowl, you know? We weren't supposed to win. But yeah, there was Tony with Jason Witten out gallivanting with the girls, you know, and in some place. And, you know, that was T.O.'s famous crying speech, you know, his quarterback. Gosh, yeah.
That's my quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Well,
I won't bring that back. Sorry.
I want to ask you a question more about you personally. What was your first day like as the first full-time woman sports anchor?
Well, you know what? If we're talking about showing up at ESPN mm-hmm. as that and doing that, because that's what I like to talk to, because that was like my dream. Because this is where, you know, I was a hardcore sports fan. Hardcore sports fans watched ESPN even back in the day when I started back in 1992 was my first year. And I was nervous. I wanted to prove to people that I belonged here. And, you know, back then you had being a woman, they weren't hiring a lot of women back then. And you really felt like you had to overachieve. So mm-hmm. I tried not to feel pressure and nerves, but there were times that first year I tried to do too much.
And he's shaking on the table again.
It wasn't shaking, but it was more like trying to verbally do too much.
Oh, yes.
Showing off with facts and stats. And so much so that I would end up stumbling.
Not as relaxed.
Not as relaxed. And the key is not to, you as long as you know you belong, right?
Mm,
and then you get back to what got you there. And not try to do something to think you're going to impress people.
Do you think you were accepted among your fellow co-hosts?
I had to prove to people that I belonged. I really did. Like, I don't think just because I got the job, they didn't accept me until they saw me at work and saw me in action and saw that even off screen, you know, off the camera and off the mic, that I really did indeed was a sports fanatic.
Right.
Who was your first like friend in the studio that you kind of clung to?
Probably, I mean, I'm going back in time now, remember, for your time. But guys like, you know, Chris Myers was a good friend. He was the first one I did SportsCenter with. He used to work, and he's in Fox, obviously, the last 10 years. But he was at ESPN and works with, and he was my first, Chris Myers. so, you know, I'd have to say him. And then the late Tom Meese. I don't know if you guys heard about him or remembered him, but he was actually one of the first guys at ESPN when it started back in 1979 with Chris Berman and Bob Lee.
Chris Berman.
He died in an accident a few years after I started working there.
Oh,
and I adored working with him. We were both big hockey fans. He was a Philadelphia Flyer fan. I was a New York Ranger fan. Still am, obviously. So we had our little verbal duels on the air. You know, you think Cowboys Giants are a big rivalry. Yeah. Flyers Rangers. And they're playing, actually. So anyway, that's that.
Right.
So there are a lot more women in the field now. Do you think the perception has changed at all?
You know,
Is it still hard for those women coming in? Or has that perception kind of changed since?
Yeah, they say perception is reality, you know, that phrase. Mm. But I don't know. It depends. You know, I mentioned this earlier. I said, you know, with the women being in the business and being in sports, it's not about quantity. It's about quality.
Mm, yes.
Because if there are women that are hired who are not qualified, they set all the qualified women back.
Mm-hmm.
And the qualified women have worked so hard to be respected and liked and to prove that they belong, that they're like one of the guys. You know, they're a guy's gal. You know, they love sports.
Yeah.
But then when women that are hired, who, as I like to call it, it's like a job, but their dream job is like working for Access Hollywood, you know, or Entertainment Tonight. You know, with all due respect to them, that's fine. But this isn't your entry-level job working in sports type of thing. So I actually don't blame them. I blame the people that are hiring them.
Yeah, you don't think about it that way, but that's true. It's people like you have kind of broken down the door for the other women to be able to get in that field, because if it wasn't for people like you, you know, they may not be getting the opportunities they get now.
Right, and what I'm really, at this point in my career, even though I don't plan to walk away anytime soon, but when I do see the young women that come into ESPN, that I can tell, again, you know, being a sports fan first, you could tell who's a phony and who's not, right? So when I see the young women that are really into it, well, then I reach out and I try to be a mentor and I try to help them make their road easier than I had when I started.
You talk about the challenges you face. Do you specifically still face any challenges working at ESPN or anywhere else?
Absolutely, I do. Okay. You know, we were discussing this earlier. I want to have my own podcast.
Right.
I want to have my radio show. Yeah. I'd be happy to have a co-anchor. Maybe one of you guys can join me.
Sign me up.
Yes, right? I don't have that opportunity at ESPN. Mm-hmm. I just fill in. And even though I'm getting a lot of great feedback, sorry, no. And that, to me, is a challenge to me.
And we don't ever think about people like you being turned down right. because you've made it to SportsCenter, but that does happen in the field.
And you know what? There's some people that wouldn't mention that to you, but I want to mention that to you mm-hmm. because I want to tell you that the fight never ends. Mm. And you have to enjoy the fight because I like to always grow. You know, you always want to be challenged. Mm. There are a lot of people that have reached my, you know, been in the business as long as me, that are fine with just the level they're at. And that's okay. And that's good for them. But I never would have gotten this far if I didn't always challenge myself and want to grow and want to take risks.
So is that your biggest goal at this point in your career from here on out?
Yeah, it's more like expanding my brand because for the past 20 years, I'm part of ESPN's brand. As long as they're my employer, they like it that way. You know,
because we think of Mike and Mike, and we think of
right. There's only a few that they've allowed to reach out. You know, Colin Mike and Mike is a brand,
and
right?
Matthew
the
Berry
Herd,
and
right. But you guys know this. I mean, you can with radio, you can create your own brand. Yeah. Because what I get frustrated with as a SportsCenter anchor, you can't have an opinion. All I do is have opinions. I can't share them.
Right, and you're just frustrated
and
so
I'm
much.
I'm frustrated, and I'm suffocating. I am. So that is a goal of mine. To get that opportunity. And you know, you just try to stay positive and to this day. And it's a work in progress. We know in this society how tough it is. And when we look at our what we each of us go through, whatever it is in our lives, how to stay positive and not think negative. You know, it's so difficult. Being a New Yorker, you know, that's always a thing. You know, being negative, you have to try to really be positive.
Well, you've been with ESPN for over 20 years.
Right.
So what have you seen change in the sports world as far as coverage also? What has ESPN done for sports?
A lot of great things, seriously. I mean, think about it. The stuff on the side of the screen, what's coming up
next. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line. I've been there so long that I know you guys are young, but it's
really...
We
take it for granted.
I know, right. They never used to have that at the bottom of the screen. You know, you used to wait for us anchors to tell you what's going on. And how about just as a fan loving the scores on top of the score, if you just turn on the game, you know, and you can see the score. So things like that, they might seem basic and taken for granted now, but it's sort of like where we would be without, you know, emails and Twitter and everything else, social networking, to think that we didn't have that back in like the 90s.
I know, we've come so far.
So same with sports. So it's great. And ESPN's been in the forefront. And it's nice to have been a part of that.
So what changes do you see in the future?
Wow.
Kind of on that same topic.
Yeah. I mean, more digital, you know, more stuff like that. Just the acknowledging finally that they get that social networking is important and how to keep SportsCenter fresh. Agree or disagree, they now have SportsCenter on all the time. It used to be a special show. Now it's on all the time. Mm-hmm. And so some people love it, some people don't, you know, and some people think that dilutes it. So moving forward, I think they need to do something to remake that show. And you can see what shows are really most popular now. It's the Mike and Mikes because they they watch their radio
show.
It's more
opinionated people.
Correct. It's the First Take, PTI and First Take. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, it's the yelling, it's debating. And so what you'll see is SportsCenter has more of that kind of segment in a sports center.
Yes.
Less highlights. Sports Center used to be all highlights, highlight driven. Not anymore. They pick and choose. So if you're waiting for like your favorite team, you know, it's not making it. Like the Spurs aren't in there all the time.
Exactly, the Spurs.
They're like, you know, an afterthought, even though they're, you know, whatever, the one or two seed in the West.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's not just, you know, beat up on the Spurs. It's just they'll pick and choose what highlights. They'll do ratings and see, wait, everybody just cares about LeBron.
Exactly.
You know, or Kobe or
Lakers
topics.
Are an eight seed and they get more exposure than
absolutely.
It's like with Tim Tebow, what was it, two summers ago? That's all you could see. I mean, it was frustrating as a fan.
It was actually last summer. That's how much has happened. A year ago, you know, when he showed up to the Jets.
Did you ever get tired of the Tim Tebow talk?
You know, I loved his whole story when he was a Bronco. I loved it. I loved that whole thing. I was so excited about it. I was all about it. I thought it was just sad that Jacksonville didn't reach out and grab him before the Jets, weren't interested. I just think the Jets did it for, you know, we all know why they did it.
Right.
And we know what kind of organization that is.
And that's why you're a Giants fan.
And, you know, I've always been a Giants fan. Thank goodness my dad was, because if he was a Jet fan, I would have been a Jet fan. Right. That would have been nice. And I'm already a Met fan, so I have enough misery. So, you know, one team that causes me misery is enough.
Right.
Well, we've just got a few more minutes left, so I wanted to end this segment with just a quick, fun question. ESPN's already got 7 channels, and we saw on Dodgeball, they had ESPN 8 the Ocho. Yeah. Is that ever going to happen? Anything?
They had ESPN Deportes, you know, the deck count, right?
Yeah, so, that's 7.
Right, that is 7. You're right. I don't know, but I don't see why not. I love it. That is great. You know, don't you love, Dodgeball was great.
Dodgeball's a great movie.
Great movie. I'm looking forward to Anchorman 2, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's going to be
great.
That's
coming out, I think, in Thanksgiving-ish. Yeah, so I love Will Ferrell.
I do too.
You know, by the way. And I love Vince Vaughn. I love all those guys.
Vince Vaughn is that low key funny too.
Funny. Did you see him on SNL? He was on Saturday Night Live the other night. It was hilarious. And those guys are all sports fans, which is very cool. I met both those guys, and they were great. And that's a perk of my job, by the way, can I just say. That's when I turn into this little kind of, you know, groupie girl. You know, when stars show up like that, you know? Like, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I love that.
So, Linda, normally when we finish our show, we like to finish the show with a rapid fire section.
All right. And how did Dan Rather do on this?
This show didn't exist when Dan Rather was here.
See? There you go. You guys are growing. You guys are going moving forward. Okay, go ahead.
So, Cooper, if you'll cue the bed music.
Bed music for this part.
Nice.
Here we go.
We'll let you start it off, Cooper.
Yeah. All right. So, first question. Favorite person to interview?
Wow. Anybody from one of the teams that I adore.
Okay.
Best childhood memory.
Childhood memory. Just, you know, watching games with my dad, sitting on the couch and not wanting to be anywhere else.
Favorite sport to cover?
It has to be, just because I played it, it has to be the NHL.
Joe.
Yeah, hockey.
All right. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, or LeBron James?
No question, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
What do you have a weakness for?
Oh, God. Cookie dough.
Me too.
Favorite sporting event?
Oh, wow. Come on. I mean, I was at both those of the last two Giants Super Bowls. I was there in person.
It's got to be the Super Bowl.
That and when the Rangers finally won the Stanley Cup. I never thought that would ever happen. I have to go with that, 1994, because the Giants had won earlier in my lifetime. So, yeah, cool. Rangers winning the Cup.
Celebrity you would most like to meet?
Oh, right now, just because he came into my head very quickly, Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Because I'm only human.
I want to ask you this. As a hockey fan, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, or Alexander Ovechkin?
None of the above. Mark Messier. Okay. The ultimate captain, the ultimate leader.
Awesome. Favorite sports movie?
Oh, that's tough. You know, there were some really great ones, and I could say Caddyshack, which always makes me laugh. But Miracle.
Oh, I love that.
That was really good. People that weren't even hockey fans enjoyed that because a lot of people didn't realize that whole 1980 story.
Right. Biggest inspiration?
It has to be, you know what? It really has to be my parents because they always believed in me and they always just had faith and they never said, you're crazy to be a sportscaster and there are no women sportscasters. They never said it. They always were like, go for it.
Best Sports Center anchor you've ever worked with?
You know I can't single one out. You know I could. I've worked in with so many Sports Center anchors. The ones that that we play off each other well. That's a good team. You know that you can just have fun and get it. You know, there's so many great ones though. Really, I mean everyone back in the day with like Rich Eisen and I had so much fun with. And, you know, I fun with John Butchergrass, and, you know, all these guys, you name it.
Okay. What is the craziest thing you've ever done?
I can't say that here. I really can't.
But seriously, you can't.
We'll just let everyone have their own imagination on this.
So that rules out anything else that's tied for second place. I'm trying to think of something crazy I did on camera at least or anything. And, you know... Nah, no. I'm much more exciting when the camera's not rolling.
Okay. Let's see. What job would you have done if you hadn't been a broadcaster?
A That's a good one. That's one of the things I'm going to ask Ryan and Missy today. You know, I would have to say it would probably be in sports, so I'd either be playing hockey or tennis.
Okay. Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, or Barry Bonds?
You know, do I have to answer those? Like all-time greats?
You got to answer. Who's your favorite?
What is it? Babe Ruth,
Willie Mays, and Barry Bonds.
No Hank Aaron?
We thought about Hank Aaron, but we have wanted someone more recent, so we went with Barry.
Okay. All right. I think Willie Mays.
The great choice. Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Who's your favorite teacher growing up?
Mr. Hitkowski. I can't believe I remember his name. Sixth grade, he taught us chess, and we played kickball outside. Wouldn't he be your favorite?
Yeah, that would definitely be my favorite.
All right, and last question. If there were a movie about your life, who would you like to see in the lead role?
That's a good one, too, because I wrote a book 6 years ago called Conehead, and some people were asking me that question. I think Deborah Messing would play a good Linda Cohn. You know, and Virginia Madsen. I don't know if you recall her. But those are two good. Or maybe to be more recent, who's the one with the big eyes? You know what I'm talking about. Is it not the one that was in the Little Red Riding Hood?
I don't know what you're talking about.
She's in Les Miserables recently.
Her.
Yeah.
What's her name? And I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I think she could be me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
This was fun.
Yes, we got to get you off to your next thing. You got a big schedule, but thank you so much.
Can I take your questions? Because I might ask Ryan and Missy your questions. Those are good love to questions.
All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will come back and talk Cowboys and whatever else. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Hello, this is KETR's The Locker Room. I am Ryan Billups. This is Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps on my right. Today, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Lakers right now.
Okay.
Well, let's start with Kobe.
Yeah, definitely start with Kobe. We all saw the injury. We all saw what happened with him. And the big thing that's going on right now, should he be amnestied? What should we do? What should happen with Kobe?
It's kind of hard to say. He's going to be out for a while, and you know, we really have no idea what he's going
to
come back as.
6 to 9 months. So we don't even know if he'll play next season. Or if he's going to retire. Well, what do we think about that? Because I'm thinking
he retires.
He definitely won't retire.
He has way too many goals he's still trying
to
reach.
He's Kobe Bryant. If anything, I think this prolongs his career. Mm-hmm. Because now he comes back from the surgery and he says, you know what? I'm the Mamba.
Right.
And I'm going at you. Like, I'm coming back stronger and I'm going to prove what I could do. I'm not going out like that.
Right. Well, let's talk just really quick the situation. It was a full tear of his ACL or MCL.
No,
it was his
Achilles tendon. He completely tore his Achilles tendon. So he had surgery this last Saturday, and that recovery time will put him back in the NBA by the end of December. So he not even like practicing. He will be in the NBA. In mid-December, if he decides to come back.
And who knows what will happen with his rehab and everything like that. But like you mentioned, the amnesty. Yes. They've talked about amnestying him, maybe coming back the next year.
Because honestly, the Lakers need to cut somebody. They're going to go way over their budget. They're going to have to pay double the penalty on it.
Yes. Okay. So
if they don't cut somebody, they're going to go way over. Everybody's kind of assumed it was going to be Dwight Howard this whole time. Now with Kobe going down, maybe they build around Dwight.
Or Powell was going to be traded. Yeah. Those have been the Powell rumors.
Here's the situation right now. Kobe stands to make $30 million next year, just for next year. But with the tax situation, the Lakers are paying $80 million just for Kobe Bryant. If they cut him, that's $80 million they don't have to pay in luxury tax expenses and in his contract. And they could spend that on somebody else. Yeah. I mean,
if I were the Lakers, I personally would amnesty Kobe Bryant, but I know they won't. It's like, it would be like Mark Cuban doing that to Dirk. And that's you just don't do that with the guy who's
led. When your statue is going to be put outside the stadium.
You just don't do that with the guy who leads your team and for so many years, wins you championships.
Thick or thin.
And I don't see them doing it. I think as far as what's best for the team, it would be smart to go ahead and amnesty him.
But it's been too long now. They're at the point now where Kobe's the legend. Mm-hmm. And it's
All right. Well, let's just do percentages just to end off the show real quick.
All right.
What's your percentage on him coming back with the Lakers next year?
Next year, I'd say 75%. Okay. That's a solid number.
I'm going to say 60%.
I'm going to say 45%.
Wow, so we just got lower.
I think there's a chance, and this is a very small chance, but I think there's a chance that he gets traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, his hometown. He's always played really well in Philadelphia, and I think repairing him with Andrew Bynum would be really cool.
So quick question. Who makes the playoff, the Lakers or Utah Jazz? Currently, Utah is a game behind the Lakers.
And that's going to be
decided
tonight, too.
And Kobe's out.
Yeah. I think Lakers have it because they're a game ahead. And
Dwight's playing really well. So.
Right. And Utah has to win and the Lakers lose. If the Lakers win anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's over. Yeah.
So I think it all hinges on that. I think the Lakers have it. But, hey, I don't care because the Spurs are playing the Rockets, so what do I care?
And the Mavericks are in the lottery, so I could really care less.
All right, well, that's about going to do it for us this week. We had a lot of talk with Linda Cohen, as you heard earlier.
We had a lot of fun today. A
lot
really
of fun.
Did.
Really great privilege to be with her. We're going to put pictures up and all that stuff as soon as we can. You've been listening to KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
Ryan Billups.
All right, see you guys on Friday.